Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, and welcome everybody to a new edition of Let's Talk TV Live. I'm your host, Barbara Barnett. I am executive editor of Blog Critics Magazine and the proprietress of the Let's Talk TV TV blog. And I'm joined tonight, as usual, by Jerome Wetzel TV. Hi, Jerome.
Hello.
And by our heart, Chrissy, Christine Piccolo. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you guys?
Good. I want to publicly congratulate you on your new niece.
Thank you. Yes, she's adorable, as always. You know how babies are.
I do. And we'll be joined when we talk about Once Upon a Time in a little bit. We'll be joined by Meredith in Seattle. We have just like this Northwest thing going. Like,
exactly.
Wow.
I know. Jimmy, you're going to have to move out here.
My brother-in-law lives in Seattle, so I'm sure my wife wouldn't mind.
Yeah, well, you know what? I mean, I'm in Chicago, so, you know, I'm not in Seattle. So I will be at the end of the month. I'll be in Seattle.
You will be. I don't know if I'm going to see you, by the way, because I'm going to be at Fan Club Week until the 30th. Are you going to be here?
Yeah.
How long are you here for?
Until the 4th. We're not coming
until
in until
the 4th?
The 30th. So, yeah.
Oh, well, okay, so I'll see you. I come home on the 30th.
Yeah,
okay,
I'll probably have like a, you know, like a blog critics get-together thing.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because there's a whole bunch of you guys out there.
Oh, cool.
So that'll be kind of fun.
Okay.
So we'll have like a meetup or something. But anyway, I wanted to do a couple things tonight. One, of course, we're going to talk about the Once Upon a Time season finale from season one, and then we'll go on to season two. And I want to talk about a little bit, just want to give a mention to The Newsroom debuted last night on HBO.
Yay! Oh, how was it? Was it good? I haven't seen it yet.
I confess I have the first four episodes, so I actually have seen the first four, and I really like it this season.
Oh,
I know
cool.
Entertainment Weekly gave it a C, and I really think it was unfair and pretty undeserved. Yes, right. It is, you know what? It's liberal comfort food. It's Aaron's bacon. You know, get over it, guys. You know, it's liberal comfort
food.
It's a great show. You know, I was at a party yesterday, and everyone's like, oh, my gosh, you know, Newsroom is on tonight. Yeah, yeah. It's like everybody there is like really loves the show because we're all like MSNBC addicts. So, and we miss
Keith Olbermann.
We miss Keith Olbermann. So, yeah, so it was great. I really enjoyed it. And so that was good. And what else? This week has been a very, very sad week. We had to put our dog down. 18 and a half.
I'm sorry.
So I'm sad about that. But 18 and a half.
Aww.
Oh, wow.
That was a long time, though, at least. At least a good long life.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was her time. It was her time. So that was a little bit of a downer this week. My novel, the new version, the new draft, is done. So,
yay,
Jimmy, Chrissy, I'm going to send it to you in its new form.
Okay.
It's completely finished. I personally am enchanted with the ending. There are parts of it that aren't quite there yet, but I personally really like the way it ended, and so I can't wait to hear what you guys say. And my agent wrote me an email that said it is almost there, and she wants this draft. So I'm going to send that around before I leave for Comic-Con on Wednesday. Yay! So I want to kind of Comic-Con starts Wednesday. So excited. And we've got Blog Critics has 5 people, including one person who's not credentialed as Blog Critics Press, but is going as a blogger for the Once Upon a Fan site, but who's he's just started writing for Blog Critics. He's a brand new writer for us, and he's going to be doing a lot of TV coverage that I can't do, and some that he's doing. And he's actually going to do an interview with Jane Espenson for Once Upon a Fan, same day that I'm doing one for Blog Critics. So, yeah, so should I tell you what my schedule looks like?
Yes, I want to hear the whole sordid thing that I'm going to be all jealous.
Okay, so so I have Wednesday, I get into San Diego, and D.C. is having a press event at Petco Park. That looks
awesome.
Like it's going to be a lot of fun. It's kind of a big kickoff thing. So I'm going to go to that. And that's all I have on Wednesday. I'm also having dinner with a good friend who may or may not be listening in. Hi, Bruce. You know, I've known each other since we were small children and went to Cubs games together. And so that's Wednesday. Wednesday's kind of light. I'm going to go down onto the floor Wednesday night after dinner and kind of, you know, see what's on. Wednesday's the preview night. So you can kind of go and get a lay of the land without wall-to-wall people.
Yeah.
Thursday, I'm going to start. I start at 11. My first thing is at 11. For now, there are other things that I actually haven't confirmed yet that are going to still possibly happen. It will happen. They're just now getting confirmed, but I don't put anything on my schedule that's not like going to happen.
Right.
So I'm going to Thursday. I start out with going to Konami's suite, and which is at a hotel nearby, and I'm going to preview Castlevania II, Lords of Shadow, which is voiced by Patrick Stewart and Robert Carlyle. So,
that's the one. Okay.
So I'm going to get
a preview. I remember you telling me, but I couldn't remember which one it was.
Yeah, that's the one. So that'll be a lot of fun to see that and report on that. And then at 2 in the afternoon, there are dual press conferences on the forthcoming movies Divergent and Ender's Game. The exciting thing for me personally, I mean, Ender's Game is great. It's a great. Orson Scott Card is a wonderful novelist. I hope they've done a good job with putting it on film, but Harrison Ford is going to be there. So I'm like,
oh my God, I would
Solo.
Freak out.
Yeah.
That's like Holy Grail right there.
It is. It is. And then Thursday night is also a on-demand, you know, the on-demand movie people are having an end-of-the-year cocktail party. So I was invited to that, which will be fun. And, of course, every night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific, and 9 p.m. Eastern Time, we'll be doing a half-an-hour wrap-up of the day's events at Comic-Con.
Awesome.
So we'll be doing that every night from somewhere. The first night we're going to probably be doing it from the lobby of the Hard Rock.
There you go. That's cool. That'll work.
And I think one of the nights we're going to have on the guy who's the head of Comic-Con, who's like started it.
Oh, cool.
So like the owner, not the owner, but like the director of it.
He's like the director,
Yeah. So then on Friday, I've got the Defiance press room. I start at 10 a.m. Friday. So I've got Defiance. And then
that's
Helix, which is a new sci-fi show that's premiering. Mm-hmm. So I'll be going into the press room for that and interviewing the cast and creative team. And then I'm going to Black Sails, which is forthcoming in January on Starz, a miniseries. Which is about pirates, not pirates of the Caribbean, but pirates in the Caribbean. So I'll be doing that, interviewing those guys, and I'm going to be doing half an hour of sort of one-on-ones with them. So that'll be kind of nice. And then I'm going to go down on the floor and talk to Mark Buckingham, who is the artist from the graphic novel series Fables. Are you familiar with Fables?
No, I've never seen it.
Okay, so Bill Willingham and Mark Buckingham created this graphic novel series long before there was a Once Upon a Time that basically takes all the fairy tale characters and mashes them together in modern day New York.
Oh,
and
cool.
It even has its own wounded hero, who is the werewolf. So I'm going to be interviewing him. I was turned on to that by my daughter, who is like, that's her favorite graphic novel of all time series, the whole series. You can get it on iBooks, and it's actually really nice and in color, and it's really quite beautiful. And then Thursday night, my goodness, I have like Radical Studios is having like an arcade game night, and then there is something called There is something called Con of Darkness, which I think is like a horror fantasy party thing. So there are two parties, but going up to, there's also, I'm going to the Vikings, you know, the History Channel's Vikings has a press room that I'm going to attend and do some interviews there. And then Jane and Brad, Jane Espenson and Brad Bell are going to be doing a Husbands and Sean Hemian, and I believe Amy Acker, who is going to be guest starring on Husbands, is coming here. So
oh,
she'll be there,
cool.
That blue fairy herself. So I'm going to go to that. And then I've got another thing right after this. I'm going till about 11 o'clock that night, called Space Command. And remember I had on Mark Sicree on the show a few months ago? And I've so his whole gang. Dean Haglund is going to be there.
Cool.
The whole gang. So that'll be really fun. So that'll be a lot of fun. So that's Friday. Saturday, I start with an interview with a gentleman called Ross Ritchie, and I'm going to find out about his new project. And then I go to the Revolution Roundtables.
Oh, man, that's going to be fun. I love the Revolution. Oh, my God.
And then I have Billy Burke. I mean, he's, you know, easy on the eyes,
he's
right?
So oh, yeah. Billy Burke. Hello.
But I want to find out, you know, I want to find out what goes from here, you know, what's going to happen from here.
Yeah.
So, and then I have the Bates Motel press room.
Oh, that's
followed,
fun.
It followed immediately, like literally immediately, by the Once Upon a Time press room.
Oh, my God.
Followed by the Wonderland press room.
Yay.
Followed by an interview that I'm doing with John Ficarra, who is the executive editor, editor-in-chief of Mad Magazine, and they've got a bunch of new stuff coming out. And then I've got the press room for Grimm happening in the afternoon.
Oh,
so I literally go from 10 o'clock in the morning until past dinner time without a break. So that'll be interesting. You have to pack a lot of protein bars with me. And then Saturday night, NBC Digital is having a party at Hard Rock. That invitation I RSVP'd, and that is still pending. So, and then on Sunday I have an interview. I'm doing an interview with Jane Espenson, number one on Once Upon a Time, and then a separate one on Husbands. And then I have a thing in the evening with Neil Gaiman about his new Sandman project. So, and that's my Comic-Con. So,
that's gonna be fun.
Yeah, I actually had a pass on Warner Brothers is having, like, it's a 4-hour mega series of press conferences Saturday afternoon, and I had a pass. I totally had a pass. I just couldn't do it. I have no time.
That's a bummer, though. But
because I'm really trying to cover.
Person.
Yeah, and I'm trying to cover TV, and I've actually sent. I'm sending Zach on a bunch of things too. So, because he's a blogger, his credentials are not. See, I found this interesting. So, you write for Blog Critics. You're online media because we're online media. We're like the Huffington Post.
Right.
You work for a blog, like the Once Upon a Fan site or Wet Paint or one of those, you're a blogger. You don't actually get invited to press rooms.
Right. Right.
If you're that. Now Zach, because he's Once Upon a Fan, did get invited to the Wonderland and Once Upon a
Right. That's specific because, you know, he is
so but next year he'll go on our credentials and he can get into everything. But
it's
so that'll
be so much fun.
So it's gonna be wild and crazy. I upgraded my flights. I'm gonna need all the energy I can get, so I'm flying first class both ways. So it's gonna be a really, really fun time. I think I'm tired thinking about it. And there's parties every night. I'm gonna be too tired. I'm too old to go to so many parties. Last year,
that's okay, baby. You can just send me on your trip. It's fine.
I was so tired, like, you know, and don't forget, it's not all play. I actually have to go back to the hotel and write articles. Here I am, guys, and have my picture taken with, like, I had my picture taken with Josh Dallas last year.
That's so cool. Oh my god!
The one
thing
I did
one with You have to get one with Robert Carlyle. I mean, come on.
I do. You know, the one thing that I had to actually pass on the Supernatural press conference, I really broke my heart because it conflicts with my interview with Jane. I can't do both.
Oh, man, I love it. See,
and
that would have been not be a problem.
See, and I just got an invitation to Cinemax has a series called Strike Back.
I just got
invited to something for them, and I basically said I just can't do anymore.
Mm.
I did not get my press my one-on-ones with the Hannibal cast though. I don't know if they're just not doing press or they just didn't want to talk to me.
Maybe they're not doing it.
They could. You know what? HBO is not doing press rooms, and you know, I actually spoke with my press contact at HBO, who was wonderful. In fact, it was funny because when I was emailing back and forth with her, she says, "By the way, did you get your newsroom screeners yet?" And I was like, "No." She says, "I sent them yesterday." I said, "Are you sure I'm on the list?" She says, "Of course you're on the list." So she FedExed them to me, so I had them by Thursday morning. But I had asked her, she had actually emailed me. She says, "Did you get all set up with whatever you needed for Comic-Con?" And they had actually said to me, the Comic-Con people that do the HBO people that do Comic-Con said, "We really think of Comic-Con as a fan event." And they have a panel, and they have an autograph session. Same thing with True Blood, but no press sessions. So no press roundtables. So and that actually was – that happened last year as well, but never hurts to ask. And if I have time – you know, my contact with Google, can you cover the panels, do you think? And I said, I can't wait in line for 3 hours.
Right.
I can't. That's why they do press rooms. So that, you know, and you can watch the press panels. Because they'll replay the press panels at night.
Right.
But
I like the press room is the best thing because then you can just ask questions and, you know, it's so easy.
Yeah, well, the press rooms actually work differently. They're not like backstage rooms, but what they do is you sit at these round tables, like I think I explained last week, and there are probably five or six journalists, and they actually bring the people to you. And, you know, last year in the Once Upon a Time room, actually not everybody came to our table. So we didn't talk to Ben Morrison and we didn't talk to Josh Dallas. And but we talked to everybody else. So you get like maybe two questions, but you can still record. But you can record everything, so people are asking questions, and you can just record it. And hopefully, what won't happen, what happened last year at a couple of them, were like these people who just don't know the rules and they don't know that there are other people that have questions to ask. Just like ask follow up after follow up after follow up, and then it's like, oh, no more time. So,
yeah, I know. That happened to me at the Daytime Emmy in the press room there.
Yeah.
I won't say who it was, but kind of hogged the line. And I was, like, thinking to myself, I'm thinking, well, you know, I mean, I had, like, only one or two questions. I mean, you know, I wanted to get out of them and was just hogging it, the whole thing. I was kind of upset. And they didn't really stop anybody either. You just kind of have to, like, raise your voice and be aggressive pretty much. I mean,
So you guys, everybody knows my schedule. If you guys have any questions, like Chrissy and Jimmy, or Meredith, or anyone who happens to be listening, and I've been actually taking a look at the stats for the rewatch, and I've been getting about 1,000 plus per week, which is fun. I mean, people are tuning in, which is nice. Even during the summer.
Care what we say.
I don't know about that, but they are listening. Wave if you like us. So if you have any questions for any of those panels, unfortunately I will not be talking to Misha Collins and to Jared.
No.
I can't, you know, maybe I'll poke my head in and take a picture, but I have my new camera. I'm all set. I have my new Nikon D5200.
Well, even if you can just get a picture, I'd be happy.
Okay, well, I'm going to try to do that, and I'm actually going to make sure I think my new camera, I got this new camera, and it's wireless. It's got, like, wireless, I think. It's a Nikon D5200. It's a brand new camera. And I got two lenses for it, one that, like, goes to 300 millimeters. And I think I can wirelessly post to Instagram right from my camera.
Oh, cool.
So I think. Yeah. I think. I'm not sure, but I think I can. I have to look at the directions. I haven't looked at the directions. I'm like, I don't ever look at the directions for anything ever. And so I'll have to think something. Someone's knocking at your door, Jimmy.
No, it's just my wife pounding on the counter.
Ah. Okay. So if you have any questions on any of those panels for any of those people, be sure you can email me at Barbara.Barnett@blogcritics.org, or you can feel free to tweet me, and please make sure you're following my Twitter feed during Comic-Con at B_Barnett. That's my Twitter handle. So I will be posting to Twitter. I will be posting to Instagram, and I will tweet my Instagram follow signature, because I'm not sure what it is, because it's been a while since I've used Instagram. I'm not a big Instagram user. But I will be.
Never done it.
Yeah, I've got it on my phone. But I will be tweeting a lot, and I might just end up tweeting instead of using Instagram. So if you want to know what I'm doing at Comic-Con, feel free to follow me on Twitter. I will be, and then of course I'm going to be doing the nightly Blog Talk Radio show at the usual time. So it'll be the same time, 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern. It'll be 6 o'clock out there, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's
so,
okay.
Anyway, so you wanted to talk about Christy? I know.
I'm so upset. I'm so upset. Well, I mean, everyone knows the sad news that Corey Monteith who played Finn Hudson, he was the main guy. I mean, he was the glue. I mean, I would say, you know, both him and Leah, but I mean, when he wasn't on, it's just not going to be the same. I'm so upset. He died on Saturday. I am hopefully going to get a little bit more inside information, hopefully, for my article that I'm going to post hopefully tomorrow. He was in Vancouver at the Pacific Rim Hotel, and he was found. I think there's two different. I mean, the main story is that he missed his checkout time. They went up and they went to, and they found him, and he was already deceased, and he had been deceased for several hours. But the other thing that I had heard. That he actually missed he was supposed to be somewhere, and then they couldn't get a hold of him, and then they sent somebody up. So I don't know which is the one. I'm trying to find which is accurate. But they said that they did do the autopsy this morning, but we're not going to know anything until next week as far as the actual cause of death. You know, it's so sad, and you know,
it is.
I mean, I'm going to be doing a show. I'm doing actually a tribute show right after this show on Heart. So, if anybody cares to listen,
tune in.
Yeah,
I've stayed at the Pacific. I've actually stayed at the Pacific Rim a couple times.
Isn't it? It's nice over there. I think I did. I'm trying to remember. I went to Vancouver for my birthday. You know, because it's
Wait, the Pacific Rim in Vancouver. Oh no. Sorry.
Yeah, in
Vancouver. Stayed at the Pacific Rim in Seattle, not Vancouver.
Oh yeah, no. I went to Vancouver for my birthday one year, and I believe that's where I stayed. I don't remember.
It's a beautiful hotel.
I gotta double check that. But I mean, I know it's such a great. I love Vancouver anyway.
I do too.
But it's just so tragic. I mean, the guy is so sound. I mean, everyone that has been, you know, sends tweets or whatever, I mean, all the celebrities that knew him and whatever, they all say what a great guy he was. He was just really humble, really down to earth, laid back, you know. He was so in love with Lea and Michele. They were, I mean, at one point somebody was like, oh, they're probably going to get married. It's so sad.
That is sad. That's really sad.
Yeah. It really is. I mean, and I don't know what they're going to do. There's no word yet. They were supposed to start filming, I believe, the first week of August. They're supposed to start filming for season 5. And I don't know if they're going to – I mean, they're going to have to redo everything. And they haven't – you know, they're going to work it out. Nothing has been set yet as to exactly what they're going to do. So but I will let you guys know when I find out. But, yeah.
Yeah, do.
That.
Please do. Wow, that's really...
And his part at the end of last season was all weird because he was in rehab and it wasn't pre-planned. So even though, like, they... In one episode, they set it up that he's back at the school working as the co-director, and then the next couple episodes, you just don't see him.
Yeah.
So they didn't explain it on screen. He just disappeared.
Yeah.
As it was.
It's weird, too. Well, what was funny is, you know, not only that, they left it really open because, remember, Mr. Schuster and him had that conflict because he kissed, that was so stupid, though, that story, but whatever, that, he, you know, he kissed Emma, who...
Mm-hmm.
Fiance to
Will. That was the dumbest plot.
I know. But they left it. So they hadn't made up yet. So my thinking
is... They agreed to work together again. And that's where the last episode he was in. And then he just disappeared. And then he just disappeared because he was in rehab. And so they never mentioned why he wasn't there working with them, even though the plot said he was supposed to be now.
I'm wondering if they might even do, like, because he was kind of, even though he said he was going to get his teaching degree and all of that, I'm just wondering if, you know, they're going to, I don't know how they're going to do it.
They can't kill his character off. They can't justifiably leave him alive and not kill him again.
They're going to have to do some retrofitting of some scripts and stuff and just kind of, you know, figure it out.
I mean, there's
no way
in
sure
hell they're going to recast it. People were like, oh, they're going to recast it. No, they will not recast it.
I can't imagine.
I mean, it's just, you know, it would be one thing if it was not, none of those, I mean, maybe one or two could maybe be recast, but not really. I mean, that whole group is so, and they're also close, you know, as far as the cast and the crew, they're so close, so it's going to be devastating to have to go back.
Yeah.
So, I feel bad for Leah because, you know, they were a mother. It's just awful. It's awful and tragic.
It is. It's very sad. It's very sad.
I can't wrap my head around it. It's hard. Yeah.
So anyway, tune in after the show and, you know,
Go
give
to
a call.
Our Heart Radio.
Go to Our Heart Radio on Blog Talk Radio.
Yep.
So.
We're going to do a little thing.
Any other TV things you guys want to talk about?
I haven't seen True Blood or Dexter yet, but I have them recorded, so I will see them. I don't know if you guys have seen them yet this week.
Not this week, no.
I have not. I don't usually.
Either, okay.
I'm not. I confess, I am not a Dexter watcher.
Oh man.
I am not into the serial killer thing. You know, that's the one thing I find very difficult about Hannibal. You know, you can't get around the fact that Hannibal Lecter, who is chillingly and magnificently played by Mads Mikkelsen, just wow, chilling, terrifyingly cold. But I did a piece on Hannibal last week, last Sunday,
mm-hmm.
I think. Last Sunday? Last week sometime. I can't remember. But I did a piece on Hannibal, and I just think the show is really well done. I'm sad I'm not going to get a chance to talk to them, but I'm not into the serial killer thing, and I really, you know, I have to confess to fast forwarding through some of those Hannibal scenes because he just like makes my skin crawl just a little bit, and he's supposed to, but
yeah.
You know, I really like the character development of the of Will Graham, Hugh Dancy's character on it, just really good. But
well, I think I would like Dexter this year because there's a very interesting twist where there's a psychologist who actually studies serial killing and all this, and she's sort of like the main expert on the brain and whatever, and she happens to just show up, and she actually is asking Dexter to help find somebody so he can kill them. I mean, it's just very interesting, and she understands the way that his mind works. So it's really the whole like serial killer, the way the brain is different. So that part's very interesting to me because I've always wondered.
Now, I'm finding on Hannibal that, well, Hannibal Lecter's psychiatrist is played by Gillian Anderson.
Yes.
And I wonder, and Jimmy, maybe you can speak to this, how much do you think she knows that he's a serial killer?
See, I'm not sure. I mean, it definitely seems like she knows some things about his misdeeds. Maybe the cannibalism, which, I mean, I guess if you're a cannibal, you got to get your victim somehow. Your dinner. I don't know. It's, I really was left wondering how much she knew at the end of the season.
Yeah. Katie just said, Katie just said, I'm less bothered by Hannibal than I am by Dexter. Me too, I think, just because Dexter's the good guy. And we know that Hannibal, Hannibal is.
Hannibal's the bad guy? Spoiler
no.
alert.
She says, yes, Dr. Scully knows. Well, Dr. Scully knows everything. She knows everything.
Dr. Scully knows all and sees all.
Oh, that's one of the things that's going to be at Comic-Con, and there's no pressing for it, so I'm going to try to make it happen just time-wise. I just don't know how. There's going to be a 20th year. Yes.
Oh,
and everyone's there. Everyone's there. Everyone's going to be there. Chris Carter, David Duchovny, Gillian Anderson, Dean Haglund.
Oh, my God. I want to go so bad. No, you don't understand. I am an ex-filee.
Me too.
Oh, my God. David Duchovny, you have to go and see David Duchovny.
You're talking. I cut my fanfiction teeth writing about writing X-Files fanfic. That was my first foray into fan fiction, was X-Files. People know me for my house fan fiction in the fan fiction world because I wrote tomes and tomes of house fan fiction. But I have my own X-Files fan fiction site. And I wrote a ton of it.
So it's
all Mulder torture.
Have you have to go.
I'm going
to
try.
Oh, my God. And you have to say, if you meet David Duchovny, I'm going to be spiked. You're going to have to say, and my friend and fellow blog critic person who didn't have her credentials yet.
He's really, really tall. I had a crush so bad on David Duchovny until he insisted the show move to California.
No, I was still crushing.
I was not.
I
was not happy.
Almost everything that he does. Oh my God. I know. I recently just watched Return to Me, which I absolutely.
And that was during the height of my X-Files fandom. I loved it. It was actually shot here in Chicago and at Lincoln Park Zoo and the surrounding area. So I actually went down there when we went. We took under the pretext of taking our children to the zoo.
I love it.
We're taking our kids to the zoo today.
It's like really.
It was. My husband said, okay, are they filming today? I'm like, I don't know. They could be. I don't really know.
Let's just see. If I could just get a glimpse of David, please.
I will try. You know, I'm going to meet Dean Haglund.
Oh,
I'm going to another panel where he is.
Yeah.
And, Dean was on the show. I did a taped interview with him that I think I played on the show. So I'm going to definitely I'll meet Dean in person. We have this very... I think it was over Christmas break. We must have had like an hour and a half conversation on the phone.
That's so cool.
So,
because those are the conversations where you get all kinds of fun stuff. So.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I got fun stuff like after season 5, the show was supposed to end and go to movies, but it never did, which is why the show went downhill after the...
I still say we need one more film, please. That's the main question.
The big news. I mean, if there's big news about an X-Files movie, it'll happen at Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, seriously, if you get Chris Carter, oh, my God. I'm so mad now. Oh, well.
So everyone's going to be asking him that, though. Everyone's going to be asking him, is there going to be another movie? And I'm sure that there will be information.
They want to do it. This is the thing. They always say they want to do it. You know, Jillian has said
they
that. David has said that. Chris has said that. Okay, well,
okay, so this is what Dean Haglund told me. everyone was on board with it. Everyone's on board with it. Every single person. They were just waiting for Chris to come up with a script.
Come on, Chris.
And that was
I have a script ready.
Cover.
So if you need some script, I already have the whole thing figured out of what they need to They need to pick it up 12 years later because the kid is now 12, right?
Yeah.
And I think, and anyway, I won't tell you the whole thing, but I already figured out the whole logistics of the way the whole story should be, what it should be. I had it all in my head, and I wrote some of it out.
So, and they're also having a Battlestar Galactica anniversary celebration. Oh, it's just going to be, there's all this stuff. And I my brain is exploding.
I know.
With all of the stuff. And there's a whole bunch of cool sessions on writing and novels and world creation that I want to go to. And just, I wish I could divide myself into four.
That's what I was just going to say. You need to have like five of you.
I do.
Turner, like Hermione on Harry Potter.
I could.
You could go through it four times. You'd be really tired.
There you go.
But you could do it.
I could do that. Oh, we saw the movie. Did I talk last week about This Is the End? Did I mention that last week?
I don't remember.
The movie This Is the End, we saw it last week with James Franco and Seth Rogen and Fiona Hill. It was great. We just had the best time. It was a really funny movie.
I love James Franco. He's so cute.
Okay. And he's hysterically funny. He is so funny. All right, so let's talk about Once Upon a Time. I'm going to bring Meredith in to the conversation.
Okay.
Hang on. Hello, Meredith.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi,
Meredith. How are you?
I'm fine. Great.
Good.
Listening to us Babylon over here, I'm sure.
It is going to be a heck of a week, and I can't wait for the Once Upon a Time is Saturday, so I have to wait all this time. Anyway, so we're going to talk about the season finale, the season one finale.
Yeah, I absolutely love that one.
I do, too.
One of my favorite, totally.
It definitely stacks up as one of the best of the season, if not the entire series. Definitely up there.
Yeah.
So, how did it set things up, do you think, for season two? And did it do so successfully? I guess that's
it. Yeah, I think so. I mean, you get the reunions you want. And, of course, nobody knew even what people would look like after Magic came back. There was a lot of debate about if Mr. Gold would look like Rumpelstiltskin again.
That's what I was wondering, actually.
His skin did not turn green.
Nope, he's still missing.
Yeah, I've always wanted to ask, why did he keep the limp? He can heal now. He can heal himself now. Why is he still limp?
I think he wants to remind himself, maybe.
I think so, too.
As a reminder?
I agree. That's exactly what I was going to say. I think it's a reminder of what he's lost.
Nobody
else turned back to their fairy tale look. I mean, the blue fairy didn't sprout wings. You know.
Right. I mean, everybody is who they were.
Yeah, Jiminy Cricket didn't turn back into a cricket.
Right.
I mean, they all did.
Yeah, it's not like Rumpel was the only one.
Right.
Right.
So,
well, you know, it was just the fact that Magic was actually coming. It was there, so they could tap into it. It wasn't the fact that they were going to transform back into the fantasy land, you know.
Right.
Or whatever, for wherever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think the flashbacks wouldn't have worked as well if they combined those worlds too much.
No,
you know, if
they can't
look like the world.
Yeah, and in fact, they've brought in some of those fairy tale characters into the real world, like Hook. They've brought in so many of them. So how many can they really bring in, and how odd would they actually be?
Right.
Exactly. You know.
What I hated about that show, though, I mean, well, first of all, I liked the whole, you know, Maleficent and Emma having, you know, to fight. That was epic. And I loved how they edited it because you saw her father fighting and then also Emma, the way that they cut it. It was really amazing.
It was really
how
well
they
done.
Did that.
Yeah, really epic, an epic moment, an iconic moment for the show.
It was. I would think that's up there as one of the most, I would think, by the time the series end. I think that's what, you know, that, people will think about for sure.
To me,
and,
that's one of the best examples of their parallel. When they do parallel storytelling really, really well, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, totally. Exactly.
It doesn't always work, but they really the parallel storytelling worked really, really well in that episode.
It did. It was amazing. And I mean, I love the fact that she actually finally embraced the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because she was so against it. But then I think, obviously her panic, because Henry had eaten the apple, the turnover,
right,
whatever, she finally was like, okay, got to be it, since there's nothing else that can explain it medically.
You know, I keep wondering about that book. I mean, you know, that jolt that she seemed to get when she picked it up.
I
can't help but wonder if maybe the book itself actually, if it was created by, say, the Blue Fairy or someone, if it had, it actually has some magical properties. It wasn't just a book.
Yeah.
That maybe if you got to a certain place of belief, it would actually maybe restore maybe those very, very brief memories, you know, as a baby. Mm-hmm. You know, I wonder if those images of her as a baby weren't just for the audience, if she actually was kind of seeing that in her mind when she picked up the book.
Right.
Well, I think so. I think it also maybe kind of gave her, once she fully, like, resigned to it, I think picking up the book kind of jolted her own magic that she is within, you know, because she has her own magic. She is magic.
She is magic.
Yeah, and also notice that, you know, in the pilot episode, the very first one, the pictures are pretty much nondescript. You couldn't tell who anybody was. And as the series goes on, if you look at the pictures, they become more and more and more distinct. You actually can see and identify people. And
it's almost like it keeps improving itself
the more magic comes along.
You're talking about the cast pictures?
Yeah, the drawings,
the book,
you know, that are in the pictures.
Right.
That
no,
are in,
no,
the book.
In the book. Right, in the book. Right, the drawings in the book. Yeah, I think that's probably true. That's probably true. So Belle is released, and I love the fact that...
That was a wonderful scene.
That was another
that
epic
was awesome.
Scene. But, okay, so how did Jefferson know?
I think he probably stopped by once or twice during Belle's stay, since we already know that he, you know, and Rumpel worked together a little bit.
Yep.
I think he must have known she was there, and maybe after the incident with Mo French, he became very much aware of what she meant to him.
Yeah. Right. And by doing that, he could get his revenge.
Except it didn't quite work, did it?
Christina.
No, it did not quite work.
No, it kind of backfired on him, but, you know, still. I mean, I love, this is the thing, when before the whole, you know, before it aired, my co-host, Damien and I are, you know, we were talking about it, and we were like, okay, I'll be happy. I remember saying, we were saying, okay, we'll be happy if at least they just see each other at the end, you know, even if they just leave that. And, oh, my God, they delivered everything, which
that
was
scene.
Amazing. That was
that
so first, great.
The first scene where she comes into his shop.
Yeah.
And he turns around.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
And then he touches her. He's like, you're real. Cause, like, he thought it's
a really tiny acting moment.
Yeah.
That you can tell he's not sure. And I keep flashing on Jane Eyre because it's, like, my favorite book from my teenage years. But when Jane comes to Rochester at the end of Jane Eyre, he's blind. He can't see her. And he has longed for her, and he had reached this point of despair, and he had called out her name, and she heard it over the miles where she was somewhere else in England. And when she came to him, he talked to her, or she talked to him, and he didn't believe that she was actually for real. He touched her, and he says, this is Jane's hands, this is Jane's arm, but is this Jane, or is this, you know, when I wake up, is it going to be my pillow that I'm clutching?
Right.
You know, it was exactly that kind of moment to me.
Wow.
So,
And, you know, when he said to her, you need to go find Mr. Gold, I was like, yeah. I mean, I was surprised, you know, it was just that whole thing. And then even like when she got her memory back and they embraced and we kissed, and I mean we got more than what I expected, that's for sure.
Oh yeah.
I really thought they were gonna drag it out to the next season, which is what they always do in soaps, I guess.
See, we didn't see the kiss until the second season. We just saw a hug.
Right, we just saw the hug. Yeah. And I had thought, okay, so maybe that was calculated, because we know that if she kisses him and it's true love's kiss, it's going to break the spell.
Mm-hmm.
But now they have kissed. So what do you guys think about that? I mean,
I think she can't act because, again, you know, in the Enchanted Forest, it looked like magic actually went into his body, and that's why she had the ability to remove it. But here, he uses it in the air that he released, so he can be basically just like Regina. Regina can have relationships and do magic. I think he gets to be like everybody else.
No. What I mean is, did that kiss release the curse? Because it went in skin deep. When she kisses him, it releases the curse.
It starts releasing.
The magic isn't fully in. I mean, there's magic in the real world, but the real world doesn't have
the real world
magic.
Doesn't have that ambient magic going through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that might be part of it. Although I would hazard a guess, or I would speculate that the gold that we've seen over season two, most of the time, is the gold that we see who's been kissed, as it were, and who's not living under as strong a spell as he had been. Because
you think it's working just very, very slowly.
Yeah, and because he's in love, he's had true love's kiss. He is in love. Someone loves him. It's two-way love. And I think that it's more that than Belle's actual presence that has leached that curse from him, I think.
Well,
and
that's the case, even without Belle with him on the ship, it'll carry over. So that could be a real test.
Yeah, right, because, you know, she's not going to be there. Ha. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you guys think we're going to learn at Comic-Con?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to see what the response is about the Rumble situation, because I'm a little concerned that she didn't get to go with him. I'm concerned about that, because I feel like, you know, something is obviously going to happen to her at some point, that he's either going to have to, you know, he's probably going to have to either save her, or maybe she can't be saved. You know, I'm worried about that whole thing. I mean, they better keep her. That's what I'm worried. I'm worried that they're going to get rid of her.
Yeah, no, they will.
Well,
they will.
She's the main character for this season.
Yeah, she is. And she's going to have a very important role. And that's actually something I will ask Emily when I see her at Comic-Con.
I have come into her own, you know.
She's a probably one of the smartest characters on the show.
Oh yeah. Well, I love how they do write her where, you know, she's more independent.
She's
independent. I like
that. Smart.
Yeah,
she's
they,
smart.
They
she
show that, which I think is great. They need to do that.
I think
that
she and Gold are the two. I think she and Gold are the two smartest characters on the show.
Yeah, definitely. Well, definitely.
Yeah,
combined. They both know a lot.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I love the scene with Charming and Rumpel where he actually talks about her.
That
was just so
beautiful.
Like,
are you asking me for girl advice? Whatever. I was like, oh, that's so cute. And now to know, well, now, of course, you know, he's Henry's grandfather. They're both grandfathers.
Right.
Yeah, I really want them eventually to be good friends.
Yeah.
I think there's
really
a lot of potential there. There's a huge amount of chemistry that they have together.
Yeah.
They're both actors trained in the British system.
Right, exactly.
They both know how to handle a sword pretty well.
Yeah, and of course, Rumpel and Charming actually have a lot more in common than they even realize, or at least Charming doesn't realize. They both came from that very, very poor background and basically became rich overnight.
Yeah.
They both fell in love with women that Regina seems to enjoy being cruel to.
And smart
right.
women. You know,
yeah,
and,
I mean,
and
they have that in common, and they have, you know, Henry in common now.
Yeah. No, I think
exactly.
there's definitely, and I think that if they're smart, they'll give Josh Dallas and Robert Carlyle scenes together because there is chemistry. And I think as much as, you know, it's very lovely to have Snow and Charming and it's Kissy Face and Sweetie Pie and all that, they're just, there's no conflict between them. And as
right.
I have learned, writing a 95,000 word novel, if you don't got conflict, it's like my husband was reading it and it's like, okay, so where's the conflict?
Yeah.
In this, I'm like, well, but I want my protagonists to be really like basically they're good guys. And he says, well, then you got to find conflict somewhere.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
There's
got to be conflict. So one way to have that conflict is you have there's a love-hate relationship between Rumpel and Charming, I think. Because
yeah.
I think, you know, Charming blames him for having gotten him into, you know, whatever situation he was in the first place because he didn't want to leave his mother and
right.
for basically stealing his twin from
yeah.
his mother. And so there's a definitely a conflict there. And he also blames Rumpel for turning Snow into essentially a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
So there's
not
a lot
unjustifiably.
Of...
unjustifiably.
Yeah, I think unjustifiably, absolutely. So I'm going to want to know, you know, what's going to be between those two lovies. And I can't say that because I don't see either one of them as necessarily being lovies. I know what a lovey is. Stephen Fry is a lovey. Hugh Laurie can be a lovey. Emma Thompson is a lovey. I mean, there are loveys. Hugh Grant is a lovey.
I'd like to see one of the couples actually have a baby on the show. Like, I mean, wouldn't it be weird if Emma suddenly had a much, much, much younger...
No, I don't
want to
see another baby situation.
Let's skip it. Babies always screw up a series. I'm sorry.
They do. They can. They can.
I mean,
they can.
It really can. And, I mean, this is the thing. Like, maybe if it was the last season, maybe it would be cool to see if somebody had, you know, a tip, like, are they going to have, if they have it in our world, let's just say, and, yeah, their town has magic, but the rest of the world doesn't. I mean, is the baby going to be magical? I mean, that might be interesting. But, yeah, I mean, the baby stuff, it's just, it totally ruins the whole thing, really. I mean, unless...
Well, maybe not this season, but someday I think it would be good
yeah.
development.
Yeah,
you know,
and not all the characters are magical either. So there are only a few magical characters on the show, right? You got the Evil Queen, you have Rumpel, you have Blue Fairy, and you have Emma.
By the way, speaking of which, I heard that the guy Giancarlo Esposito, who played
mm-hmm.
the genie slash
yes.
magicker. That he will be back sometime in the third season.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, they announced that this week.
I will. I don't know if he's going to be at Comic-Con, but I'm going to be talking to the Revolution cast. So.
I heard he was supposed to come back for one or two episodes at least.
I will be sure to ask him that if he's there. I would imagine, because he's like a major player on the series.
Yeah.
I will ask him. I don't know.
Yeah, we
haven't
seen
that.
All the second season, so
right.
maybe we can finally find out what happened to him and if he has his magical powers back.
I feel like they should, I mean, they've been really cagey about what his return will be, but I feel like it should only be in, like, fairy tale flashbacks, because if you let him out of that insane asylum, then we're just going to want to see him all the time, and obviously that's not going to happen. That's not fair.
He's kind of got
It'll
a
It'll be like Amy Acker, where it's like, she's never there, even though we want her there.
Right, right. So I'm actually looking to see if he's going to be there. So let's see.
So what episode do you want to do next? Like next week?
What do I want to do next week? Well, we should do the season. We should do the season two. So next Monday. Okay, so yes, we should do the season two.
Premiere?
Are we doing our show next Monday?
Yeah, Broken.
Yes, we should do Broken. We definitely
okay,
should
we'll
do Broken.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, here it is. Okay, so let me see. Revolution. It doesn't say. It doesn't say who's going to be there. So, unfortunately.
What about The Walking Dead? Are they going to be there?
They are, and I just don't have time to go.
Oh.
I haven't actually gotten my RSVP'd, but I did not have my I haven't got my confirmation to most things yet. But Revolution, yeah, it says series stars and creator Eric Kripke are going to be there. So I would imagine that Giancarlo will be there. It doesn't list everybody. So I will be there and talk to them. So, yeah, it's going to be
I'll be sending you a bunch of questions, by the way.
Yeah, please, you know, for all of the panels that I'm going to be on, I don't watch all those shows really, really intensely. So anybody have any questions? I mean, I watch Revolution. I watch Once. Some of the shows are brand new. I know
I'd really like if you'd ask if either Barbara Hershey or Rose McGowan, you know, as Cora, are going to be back for any of the flashbacks.
I will ask.
I was pretty sure that Rose was supposed to come back, Rose McGowan, but I'm not sure.
If you guys can you guys send me an email and just ask, you know, any questions you want to ask? Because I should have at least be able to get in a question or two for each one of the cast, assuming they all make it to our table. So please feel free. I'll have my own list of questions, but please feel free, because sometimes other people's questions are better than mine. And I will use them. So that
cool.
goes for everybody listening out there, on Twitter, on the app, on live or wherever. Definitely tweet me, and just if you would put the hashtag on it, BB@CC, and I will know that it's a Comic-Con question. That was Jimmy's idea.
That
and my coverage
tag. I'm just gonna say
it is a good tag. Thank you so much. And my coverage on Comic-Con will all have the hashtag. Two hashtags. It will have the hashtag SDCC, and it will also have the hashtag BB@CC. So please make sure to tweet me questions, and I will be tweeting constantly. I got a supercharged battery extender for my phone, so I should have plenty of phone battery during the day, and lots of batteries and three spares for my camera. I remembered last year I ran out of batteries on my camera, and I bought three batteries for my new camera, and so that should be sufficient, I think. And my video recorder, I will have plenty of batteries as well. So I'm going to be doing lots of taking pictures and videos. And I will be doing posting videos on Vimeo. So follow me on Vimeo. Find me on Vimeo, because I will be posting all videos on Vimeo. I will not be posting to YouTube, because sometimes the interviews go on longer than 15 minutes. And Vimeo is just easier to just upload directly. And if you want to see my videos that I take during Comic-Con, subscribe to my Vimeo channel, and you can get them that way. So any last thoughts, guys?
Yeah, I really love that last moment in the finale where Regina – she could have run anywhere, knowing that people would be after her, but she went home and cried on Henry's bed. I love that.
It was a really nice moment.
I love that moment where she says to Henry, no matter what happens, whatever people say, you know, I do care about you. That's important.
But something tells me I don't think that her true love kiss would have actually woken him up. I'm sorry, it just isn't true enough, not yet. Not if you're willing to kill her other mother.
Right. I do not believe that. I believe that however much Regina cares for Henry, and I believe that she cares for Henry a great deal, however much she loves him, I don't think it is the kind of pure love that it is, it's kind of the same kind of love that Cora has for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. She's willing to kill off loved ones. It just doesn't work. It doesn't.
Well, I don't think Regina would ever go so far as to try to kill Henry. Whereas Cora, you know, could easily kill Regina, I think.
Oh, I definitely think so. I definitely think so.
So it's not quite the same level, but yeah. There is a bit of poison there.
But I am going to be asking a lot of questions about, you know, and you know they're not going to say anything. I mean, I think my best interview on Once Upon a Time will probably be with Jane, who never tells anything about anything, but she does it so nicely.
Is your name Jane Esmondson?
I actually had dinner at my rabbi's house Friday night, and she's married to another rabbi. And our rabbi said, tell my husband, like, where you're going. And I said, well, I'm going to Comic-Con. And he just about dropped his fork. And she says, well, tell him who you're interviewing. And I said, well, do you know who Jane Espenson is? And he didn't.
Hello?
He did drop his fork.
I'm assuming I'm your show. I just thought I'd let you guys know.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Chrissy, are you leaving us?
Yes. I just realized, oh my God, it's like 7:01. So.
Go do your other show. Go do your other show.
Okay, bye, everyone. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Okay, bye, Chrissy. But what he said was, if I were a pagan, I would be worshiping at the altar of Whedon. And Jane is one of the goddesses. She's the goddess of the Whedonverse. So I actually just turned down a thing for S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, Marvel's S.H.I.E.L.D.
Why?
Because I don't have time.
Too bad. It's just Whedon.
I know it is. And you know what? I didn't get this invitation until this afternoon. And, you know, it's like there's only so many things I can do. In fact, I just sent it to Zach and I said, hey, Zach, will you cover this for us? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's Friday afternoon. It's like I've got four other things scheduled at that time. So, and to press room. So there's invitations and I just can't do it. I wish I could do it. I just can't. I just don't have time. So, in fact, I just got an email from the Space Command folks saying, hey, yeah, we would love to talk, sit for a quick interview after the panel, which is not over till 10 o'clock at night. And they said, but if you can, you know, if we can schedule something like, you know, Friday or Saturday afternoon, we can sit down for you for a whole nice long time. And I'm looking at my schedule and I'm looking at, well, unless we did like 8 in the morning for coffee, I got no time. I have nothing left in my schedule that I can fill without really making myself crazy. Now, the good thing is almost all the press interviews are in the same place on the same floor.
That's good.
They're all at the Hilton, almost all on the third floor. Some are on another floor, but they're almost all in the same place, which is really nice. It's kind of cool because you walk into the Hilton and you go up the escalator, and in order to go up the second escalator, you have to show that you have a press badge, which is kind of neat, but fun. It's like, ha-ha, I've got a press badge.
Enjoy your week.
Thank you, guys, and thank you for coming on and talking. As always, it's always fun to talk to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And tune in during the week during Comic-Con coverage, and I'll be back next week, and I probably won't be able to shut me up, so you'll have to do that. You know, say, hey, Barnett, give us a chance here. So don't be afraid to do that ever.
Ready to do another Once Upon a Time next week, or is it just all Comic-Con?
Oh,
yeah,
No, no, no. We won't do, like, we can't do the premiere, because what we have to do is we have to talk about everything that happened at the Comic-Con panel.
Mm-hmm. So the premiere will be a couple weeks.
Yeah, let's do a Once Upon a Time Comic-Con wrap up, and I will play clips from my interviews and stuff. So if I have time to put that together, otherwise they'll be raw. But I want to, you know, pull out the best of the stuff from the interviews stuff. So yeah, let's talk about season three next week. Because
are you going to be writing an article on your experience at Comic-Con?
Every day, yeah. I'll be my written coverage will be a general post every day, plus for shows that I really cover, and that I do one-on-ones for. Like, I'm going to be doing one-on-ones for Black Sails. So I'll probably do an article on Black Sails. I'll do an article on Revolution. I'll do an article on, you know, so I'll do, and those articles will all have attached to them video. So, yeah, so I'll be doing articles every day. I'll be posting, Zach will be posting. I have three other writers. Gordon Miller will be posting, and then two of his guys are going to be posting. So we're going to be like crazy. And if you go to blogcritics.org, on the front page, on the right sidebar, there is a special Comic-Con widget. So all of our Comic-Con coverage will be accessible from the front page all the time, all for the next couple weeks. So we are doing Comic-Con really big this time, hopefully.
Cool.
Well, thank you guys again. And are we ready to call it an evening?
Oh, yeah, it's my bedtime.
Yeah, I got to go and do some things on Apothecary before I go to bed. And so I will see you guys, I will talk to you guys next week, next Monday, here on Let's Talk TV Live.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Cool.
Bye. Take care, guys. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.